Ron buckled as something huge and orange came soaring from the top of the highest cage, landed on his head, and then propelled itself, spitting madly at Scabbers.
"No, Crookshanks, no!" cried the witch.
But Scabbers shot from between her hands like a bar of soap, landed splay-legged on the floor, and then scarpered for the door.
"Scabbers!"
Ron shouted, hairing out of the shop after him. Harry followed. It took them nearly 10 minutes to find Scabbers, who had taken refuge under a waste-paper bin outside Quality Quidditch Supplies. Ron stuffed the trembling rat back into his pocket and straightened up, massaging his head.
"What was that?"
"It was either a very big cat or quite a small tiger," said Harry. "Where's Hermione?" "Probably getting her owl." They made their way back up the crowded street to the magical menagerie. As they reached it, Hermione came out, but she wasn't carrying an owl. Her arms were clamped tightly around the enormous ginger cat.
"You bought that monster," said Ron,
his mouth hanging open.
"He's gorgeous, isn't he?"
said Hermione, glowing. That was a matter of opinion, thought Harry. The cat's ginger fur was thick and fluffy, but it was definitely a bit bow-legged, and its face looked grumpy and oddly squashed, as though it had run headlong into a brick wall. Now that Scabbers was out of sight, however, the cat was purring contentedly in Hermione's arms.
"Hermione, that thing nearly scalped me," said Ron.
"He didn't mean to, did you, Crookshanks?" said Hermione.
"And what about Scabbers?"
said Ron, pointing at the lump in his chest pocket.
"He needs rest and relaxation. How's he going to get it with that thing around?"
"That reminds me, you forgot your rat tonic," said Hermione, slapping the small red bottle into Ron's hand.
"And stop worrying. Crookshanks will be sleeping in my dormitory and Scabbers in yours. What's the problem?" "Poor Crookshanks. That witch said he'd been in there for ages. No one wanted him."
"I wonder why," said Ron sarcastically, as they set off towards the leaky cauldron. They found Mr. Weasley sitting in the bar, reading the Daily Prophet.
"Harry," he said, smiling as he looked up, "how are you?"
"Fine, thanks," said Harry, as he, Ron and Hermione joined Mr. Weasley with all their shopping. Mr. Weasley put down his paper, and Harry saw the now familiar picture of Sirius Black staring up at him.
"They still haven't caught him, then?"
he asked.
"No,"
said Mr. Weasley, looking extremely grave.
"They've pulled us all off our regular jobs at the Ministry to try and find him, but no luck so far."
"Would we get a reward if we caught him?" asked Ron.
"It'd be good to get some more money."
"Don't be ridiculous, Ron," said Mr. Weasley, who, on closer inspection, looked very strained.
"Black's not going to be caught by a 13-year-old wizard. It's the Azkaban guards who'll get him back, you mark my words."
At that moment Mrs. Weasley entered the bar, laden with shopping, and followed by the twins, Fred and George, who were about to start their 5th year at Hogwarts, the newly elected head boy Percy, and the Weasley's youngest child and only girl, Ginny. Ginny, who had always been very taken with Harry, seemed even more heartily embarrassed than usual when she saw him, perhaps because he had saved her life during their last term at Hogwarts. She went very red and muttered, "Hello," without looking at him. Percy, however, held out his hand solemnly, as though he and Harry had never met, and said, "Harry, how nice to see you."
"Hello, Percy," said Harry, trying not to laugh.
"I hope you're well," said Percy, pompously, shaking hands. It was rather like being introduced to the mayor.
"Very well, thanks."
"Harry!"
said Fred, elbowing Percy out of the way and bowing deeply.
"Simply splendid to see you, old boy!"
"Marvellous!"
said George, pushing Fred aside and seizing Harry's hand in turn.
"Absolutely spiffing!"
Percy scowled.
"That's enough now," said Mrs. Weasley.
"Mum!"
said Fred, as though he'd only just spotted her, and seized her hand too.
"How really corking to see you!"
"I said that's enough,"
said Mrs. Weasley, depositing her shopping in an empty chair.
"Hello, Harry dear. I suppose you've heard our exciting news?" She pointed at the brand-new silver badge on Percy's chest. "Second head boy in the family," she said, swelling with pride.
"And last," Fred muttered under his breath.
"I don't doubt that," said Mrs. Weasley, frowning suddenly. "I notice they haven't made you two prefects."
"What do we want to be prefects for?" said George, looking revolted at the very idea. "It'd take all the fun out of life." Ginny giggled.
"You want to set a better example to your sister," snapped Mrs. Weasley.
"Ginny's got other brothers to set her an example, mother," said Percy loftily. "I'm going up to change for dinner." He disappeared, and George heaved a sigh.
"We tried to shut him in a pyramid," he told Harry, "but Mum spotted us."
Dinner that night was a very enjoyable affair. Tom, the innkeeper, put three tables together in the parlour, and the seven Weasleys, Harry and Hermione, ate their way through five delicious courses.
"How are we getting to King's Cross tomorrow, Dad?"
asked Fred, as they tucked into a sumptuous chocolate pudding.
"The Ministry is providing a couple of cars," said Mr. Weasley.
Everyone looked up at him.
"Why?" said Percy, curiously.
"It's because of you, Perse," said George seriously, "and there'll be little flags on the bonnets with HB on them."
"For Humongous Big Head," said Fred. Everyone except Percy and Mrs. Weasley snorted into their pudding.
"Why are the Ministry providing cars, father?"
Percy asked again in a dignified voice.
"Well, as we haven't got one any more," said Mr. Weasley, "and as I work there, they're doing me a favour."
His voice was casual, but Harry couldn't help noticing that Mr. Weasley's ears had gone red, just like Ron's did when he was under pressure.
"Good job, too," said Mrs. Weasley briskly. "Do you realise how much luggage you've all got between you? A nice sight you'd be on the Muggle Underground. You are all packed, aren't you?"
"Ron hasn't put all his new things in his trunk yet," said Percy in a long-suffering voice. "He's dumped them on my bed."
"You'd better go and pack properly, Ron, because we won't have much time in the morning," Mrs. Weasley called down the table.
Ron scowled at Percy. After dinner, everyone felt very full and sleepy. One by one, they made their way upstairs to their rooms to check their things for the next day. Ron and Percy were next door to Harry. He had just closed and locked his own trunk when he heard angry voices through the wall and went to see what was going on. The door of number 12 was ajar, and Percy was shouting.
"It was here, on the bedside table. I took it off for polishing."
"I haven't touched it, all right!"
Ron roared back.
"What's up?" said Harry.
"My head boy badge has gone,"
said Percy, rounding on Harry.
"So's Scabbers Rat Tonic," said Ron, throwing things out of his trunk to look. "I think I might have left it in the bar."
"You're not going anywhere till you've found my badge!"
yelled Percy.
"I'll get Scabbers' stuff. I'm packed," Harry said to Ron, and he went downstairs.